The Sunday morning cornerback, Gary Paskowitz, joined by Daryl Rideau. Daryl, this is going to be an emotional podcast today. Any Trojan listening to this morning is pretty much feeling the same way about what happened last night in the USC rivalry with UCLA. I want to get your thoughts at the beginning as we get started in terms of what happened last night with USC walking into this game against UCLA and where their emotions and their preparations and respecting the rivalry. Give me your thoughts right now.
Before Saturday's game, Gary, the rivalry starts Sunday. When you start preparing, actually it would have started for them Thursday night after that Cal game, leading up to it. When you start to prepare for your opponent, your crosstown rival, Gary, when I played from 99 to 2002 against UCLA, with the stress fracture in my back, with a hernia, with a torn hamstring, a sprained ankle, it would not have mattered. You would not have pulled me off the field. I would have done everything that I could have done to prepare or to prepare my teammates to play in this game. And I felt like this USC team disrespected the rivalry by the approach, the mental approach that they took into this game, treating it like it's just another game. And the greatest illustration that I can show of that, Gary, were the two episodes or events that happened right before the game.
And let me explain what those were for those who weren't in the stadium to see them. When the USC drum major comes out and puts his sword down at the middle of the field, as they were getting ready to do that, a UCLA walk-on receiver wearing the number 32 jersey went and stood at midfield, basically to prevent the Trojan drum major from coming out there. Dr. Arthur C. Bartner eventually went and got security and had him removed. But the fact that that young man thought that he could go out there and do that is one very big example. But the second one, Daryl, and the one that really I know got your ire, is when the UCLA flag guys, four guys, each carrying a UCLA, right before the game started, they went down the backside of the end zone, and then they came all the way down the USC sideline, waving those flags. No one stopped them. No one did anything. And I know that was a sign of something to you that you did not like.
There's a thing about class and dignity and respecting the rivalry in that regard. But when your opponent, UCLA, steps over the line and they invade your territory, I don't care where you're playing at. There better have been somebody who tripped them, somebody on the field, somebody that would have stopped that. And the fact that we didn't see that is the first sign that you disrespected me. As an alum, you disrespected everybody who paid money to be in that stands to support this team. The fact that where's that fortitude that says, I'm not going to be disrespected? I didn't see any of that. I didn't see any of that. And I felt like that was a moment for you to make this a defining point that it's going to stop now. And you have to control that. You have to be the author of your own story. And USC had a chance yesterday to write that chapter with situations and opportunities that they allowed to escape. Starting with the pick six gift with Anthony Sorrell. Mm-hmm. Interception for a touchdown. But USC's response to that.
Let's talk about a couple of that things. Like missed opportunities is something, as you and I were getting ready for this, that really kept coming to the forefront as far as what you want to talk about. Let's give three right off the top of the heads. The Sorrow touchdown, and like you say, letting UCLA get that right back with the missed punt by Nelson Aguilar. Not tackling the UCLA punter near the goal line, even though it turned out he shanked the punt, that was an opportunity to get a safety, to get the ball down near the goal line, a missed opportunity there without execution. And then having a 4th-and-2 late in the second quarter and the decision to not take the points right there led to a swing, Daryl, that really did, I think, change the game, without a doubt.
It truly did. And the Anthony Sorrow touchdown, interception for a touchdown, was truly a gift. I thought that was the first time that USC showed some creativity. They blitzed the corner. They blitzed Kevon Seymour, which really set up that play quite nicely. But when your captain, when your upperclassman leader, okay, Nelson Aguilar, drops the ball, that is ball security number one. I'm sorry, you cannot do that. I cannot give you a pass. You cannot make that mistake over and over and over again. You cannot continue to make mistakes as an upperclassman and as a captain of this team when it impacts your team and you are called to protect the football. The fact that it happened and the reaction to it was just my bad. I fought his teammates more than I fought him. Because there should have been somebody in his face that said, what the F are you doing? Get your head in this game. We need you. Something like that would have showed the type of emotion that would have rallied the troops. Because we didn't see that, what does it lead to? You illustrated it. An opportunity to sack your opponent, the punter, on the two-yard line, maybe get the safety. Instead, he shanks the ball. But what does that lead to? It leads to a short field. Let's call it a turnover, Gary.
Sure.
You march down the field. The first indication that I had on that sequence that UCLA might have been more dialed in than USC was there was a play, a bunch said, Aguilar comes out of the backfield, Kessler hits him, which would have led to a touchdown, but instead, on that right before the ball was snapped, Jim Mora calls a timeout for UCLA, recognized they weren't in the right situation. We go back a couple of plays later, Gary, fourth and two, you got a chance to take points. When points come at a premium, you failed to take those points. And that right there, I thought, led to the rally by UCLA.
When you look at the way, you know, things changed quickly at the end of the second quarter.
Yeah.
UCLA gets that touchdown right going into halftime, and that another familiar setting for the USC defense. Getting that touchdown, they get the ball to open up the second half. Boom, touchdown right there. Yeah. USC goes three and out. Boom, another touchdown right there. 21-point string, and really, for all intents and purposes, game over right there.
And right there. Now, you can make the argument that the score became, after that sequence of events, the score still became 14-14, but it's how you got to 14 that makes all the difference. You had a chance to put your foot, your cleat on their neck and really put them in a hole, and you failed to do it. Why? Because you disrespect the program. You disrespect us as alumni by not being prepared. And the greatest illustration of lack of preparation that I can illustrate is the fact that the secondary was in such miscommunication, such disarray. There were plays, Gary, where coverages were busted, quite frankly. That's inexcusable when you got 10 guys playing zone coverage and you got one guy playing man coverage, and it leads to 7 points. Inexcusable. Inexcusable. And right now, I'm just so frustrated and so embarrassed that my emotions are all over the place.
You talk about the lack of adjustments, and you brought up a key point as we were talking about this. You get the Anthony Sorrow gift.
Yes.
With that right there. And you talk about, you know, not being able to match from that point on the ability to adjust during the game, the ability to do what you needed to do at that point. You, as we mentioned, you were given a gift. And not being able to respond to it, not be able to match it. That was a pattern all day long in this game.
Because a game like this, when it's a rivalry game, it matches. You got to manufacture emotion. You have to match the intensity. It goes high and low. You have to be able to stay even keel. But at the same token, you have to bring an outer body type of experience to the table. I don't care how tired you might be, but if you are Buck Allen, there is no way I'm coming off the field. You got to snatch me off the field to put in Justin Davis. I'm sorry, I love Justin Davis, but you are not Buck Allen. And there is no reason why he should have had that full series with Buck Allen just conceding to the sideline. Inexcusable. And I'm calling guys out because they're big enough, they're strong enough mentally to handle it. But the fact is, you let this team down because you weren't prepared, mentally dialed in to take back the city, to take back this rivalry when you had an opportunity. You had the gift early in the game, you couldn't seize the moment. As a result, you let UCLA back in the game and you couldn't respond. That falls on Sark's head. You're not a first-year head coach. You're seasoned in this program. You know what it takes. It's disrespectful to me, and it's disrespectful to this program to walk into this game and not be prepared to make those type of adjustments. There's nothing more I want to say about this, and you better not go into Notre Dame game with the same attitude, or you will get laughed off the field in the Coliseum. End of story.
And that's our report here for the Sunday Morning Cornerback, the post-UCLA edition. For Darryl Adeau, this is Gary Paskowitz.